Come check out the newest bike shop in Omaha, Dillon Brothers Indian Motorcycle. Indian Motorcycle now has 9 fantastic models, including the Dark Horse and Scout motorcycles. And they sell the coolest three-wheeler around, the Slingshot. Take a look at DillonBrothersIndian.com.
You're listening to Game Time with Nick Baugh on 1620 The Zone, Zone app, and 1620thezone.com. Powered by Nissan of Omaha. From the College World Series Omaha Baseball Village, here's Nick Baugh. Brian Christopherson of the Lincoln Journal-Star.
BC, Brian Christopherson.
I like a little light listening, like Sinatra type of music, actually.
Mike Riley called a defensive timeout.
And other teams had to give him a lot of attention.
And it set up a tough situation.
Maybe if they had to play that hand over again, they would have done it a little differently.
Armstrong threw a pick.
He was causing chaos.
Setting up a big score.
Brian Christopherson joins Nick now on Game Time.
I listen to classical music while I write.
BC, Brian Christopherson joins us now on our Hardee's Hotline like he does every Friday at this time. BC, happy Friday. How are things?
I'm good, Nick, and I don't have a tea time today.
I was going to say, my next question was going to be, so how does the Friday night lights camp maybe impact your tea time today? Does it impact it at all? Oh, goodness. Do you have any NBA draft, NBA trade rumor hot takes or anything like that for us?
No, I bragged last night about Justin because he's a North grad,
right.
And I'm a North grad, and so I was pretty proud of him being picked. North, you know, Omaha North now, two guys who've been picked in the first round. That's pretty darn impressive. Mike McGee and Justin Patton. I have my chest puffed out a little bit about that.
I mean, Omaha North 3, because I'll include you in there, the world nothing at this point. Like, that's pretty much what the...
I'm glad you put me there with Mike McGee, two-time world champion, and Justin Patton.
I love it.
Picking the draft.
BC, there's certainly no... Sometimes, you know, this time of year, you know, when I talk to you, we gotta kind of manufacture things to discuss. There's kind of a lot to discuss with an eventful week. I guess before we get to Friday Night Lights and Keyshawn Johnson Jr., I want to start with Bob Elliott. He is being removed as an on-field coach because of some health concerns. He'll be a defensive back analyst. And so it's good for them that Scott Booker was just kind of sitting in the bullpen waiting in the wings to take over. I guess after all the dust settles, does this move, everything that happened, in any way hurt Nebraska?
I don't know yet, but, you know, frankly, I think this was the biggest news of the week, and I understand why the Keyshawn stuff took off and was kind of dominated the conversation. But when you talk about immediate impact on Husker football in the year ahead, this has it. And, I mean, it's just kind of a carousel Nebraska's had at that safety coaching spot. I mean, it's if you look at the list of guys who have coached there, you know, they've gone through like a guy every year, and this year they're going through two guys in 1 year. It's unfortunate for Bob Elliott. I don't know all the details about it, but obviously he has had some health issues in the past that might connect to this. And, you know, I know he was so excited about getting back on the field because the last 2 years he'd been an off-the-field guy for Notre Dame because of those health problems. And he was really excited to just work with players and get down with them. And so that's tough for him to give it up. But as you mentioned, it was a big break for Nebraska and some forward thinking, I think, to bring a guy like Scott Booker on your staff originally as a special teams consultant, not knowing, of course, this is going to happen. But it's not an easy thing to switch midstream here in June and change up your coaches. And at least now you bring in a guy who, you know, he's been around Bob Diaco. He's been a full-time assistant at a big-time program like Notre Dame. He's known as a good recruiter. And he also worked with special teams at Notre Dame. And Nebraska could use a full-time guy who kind of is the lead person with special teams. So he checks a lot of boxes. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff he's got to hit the ground running with. But for what the situation is, Nebraska probably had about as good a setup as you could possibly have with having Scott Booker just down the hall.
Totally agree. Brian Christopherson, Lincoln Journal Star. Keyshawn Johnson Jr., kind of a tough situation to discuss, I'm sure, even for you to write about, because you can't help but enter into speculation.
Yeah.
I guess for you, BC, What's the lesson here, or is there one? Is this a cautionary tale of enrolling early? Is this a cautionary tale of being the prized recruit and being widely famous before you ever step foot on campus? Like, what's your takeaway from everything this week?
No, I just think it's as simple as when an 18-year-old goes to college, whether he's a football player or not, everybody's going to handle it different. Some are going to roll with it the right way. Some are maybe going to do a few things they shouldn't. And, that must have been what happened here. We know about the one citation, and it's just a dad stepping in, it seems like, and saying, let's take a step back here and better ourselves. And I can appreciate that to a high degree, and I know the Husker fan base can too. But I don't think you want to go down the path of saying, oh, it's a bad thing to enroll early or anything like that, because think about it this way. If Keyshawn Johnson Jr. had enrolled in the summer and just arrived, and, it was going to be a deal where maybe he got into the college scene a little bit right off the bat, that would happen regardless. And honestly, it would just happen now in the summer and fall, and then, it'd actually be worse timing. So in a way, this is better that he showed up in January. They know what the situation is. He can analyze it. I think the big thing is, his dad kind of alluded to it. I think, he just has to decide what he wants to dedicate himself to. And if you really want to dedicate yourself to being a football player and all that goes with it, you're going to have to change some things. And it is a different situation, though. I can't remember one quite like this where a guy has left campus for a semester and there's this talk that he might come back then in January. Generally, when a guy leaves, you don't see him again. And that might be the case here. But because of Keyshawn Senior's connection to Mike Riley and all that, this is one deal where I still leave out the possibility he could come back.
If it wasn't for Keyshawn Senior, I would say there's a 0% chance of him coming back. I mean, the Keyshawn Senior gives it like a chance to me.
Yeah, I think that's right, Nick. Cases like this, we've had examples here at Nebraska where we've written about a guy who left for a week. And usually when a guy leaves for three days or isn't at practice, sure, he's not going to be back on the team again. So when a guy leaves for 3, 4, 5 months, he's generally gone. Yeah, and you're right. I think if it's not Keyshawn Senior and that connection, this is probably a done deal by now. And we'll see if it is. I still am a little bit skeptical he's going to return at this point. Does it affect Nebraska really in 2017? No, because I don't think Keyshawn Jr. was really in a spot where he was set to contribute in a big way or maybe even play. I think he was maybe looking at a red shirt. And honestly, there's probably a couple other receivers who are, like a Javon McQuitty, a Tyjon Lindsey, who, might be a little ahead of him. So he had some work to do as a football player, too. So it's not like this giant loss from a football perspective right now for Nebraska, but certainly he's a guy that they put a lot of time in on, and there's that connection with the family, and you'd like to see it work out. But that's going to be an interesting one to watch. I've never quite seen a story just like that covering the Huskers.
Bizarre. Brian Christopherson, Lincoln Journal Star. Two last things with Keyshawn Johnson Jr. And maybe you don't feel comfortable answering this because you don't know, or it's too much speculation. Who do you think threw out the idea of Keyshawn Johnson Jr. going home first? The staff or Keyshawn Senior?
I don't know. I don't know on that. It would just be a guess from me. It sure sounds like
that's fair. I mean, yeah.
I want to be clear. I never reached Keyshawn Senior. Some other media outlets did and got some good stuff from him, obviously. But what you read and hear, it sure sounded like it was a joint decision. I mean,
right.
It felt like they were really on the same page. But who initiated it, I don't know. And
maybe that doesn't matter. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and I honestly don't know if there's more to it than the citation and
stuff.
The thing is, he's an 18-year-old. 18-year-olds go to college, and sometimes they get off the tracks a little bit. I know plenty of, I got off the tracks a little bit. My friends did. So, I mean, that happens. He's just in a more public situation, and that's what comes with it when you have that name.
Last thing on this. If, hypothetically, Keyshawn Johnson Jr. doesn't return to Nebraska. How does that impact the whole Calabrasca thing? Or does it?
Well, that's a good question. Here's the thing. I don't want to sell short what guys like Dante Williams are doing just on their own, just through connections that really have nothing to do with the Keyshawn family. I mean, I think it helps a little bit, but those guys have some really strong ties in California, and those aren't just going to disappear even if Keyshawn isn't in the program. I do think it was a little bit of a boost. It's hard to gauge, you know, what that percentage of a boost it was. But, you know, when you have Keyshawn Senior on television, he's got his Nebraska polo on, and he's talking to those guys at camps and maybe wearing that Husker gear, and his son's going here. I'm sure that plays on guys' minds a little bit. But I don't think it kills it.
Yeah.
No, I don't either. Because Dante Williams is an exceptional recruiter in California, and Keith Williams is a good recruiter. And Mike Riley, before he got to Nebraska, I mean, he lived in California. Half of his classes at Oregon State went there. So they've had connections to coaches there for a really long time. So it's not going to kill it by any means. And, I mean, I remember when Dante Williams got hired doing a story and talking to an analyst who's really in the know on the West Coast, and he said, yeah, I mean, Dante Williams, if you want to talk about assistant coaches who recruit California, he's probably like the second or third best guy in the entire country.
Right,
and, I mean,
right.
That's big time.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't just go away whether there's Keyshawn or not.
Brian Christopherson, Lincoln Journal Star. Okay, Friday Night Lights camp tonight. I mean, just the you wrote about it today where you just start listing all the guys that are going to be there. And it's staggering, the amount of foreign, even five-star guys that you have there. At the end of the day, why is this staff able to get a totally different caliber of recruit on campus when the previous staff couldn't?
Well, I mean, I think it might just start and end with ambition. The ambition of, we think we can get this guy, we're going to make a play for him. And I think, you know, they still got to prove it on the field.
Sure,
but I think
yeah.
Mike Riley has hired guys who have proven to be very good recruiters and are better recruiters for the most part in general than Bo Pelini had. And that's it. I mean, a guy like Dante Williams, they paid big money to bring him here, and he's worth that money. There's a reason they are paying him that, because he can connect with guys. He can get those type of guys in on campus. I keep talking about Dante Williams, but he's a perfect example, because I mean, you talk about a guy like Bookie Brendan Bradley Hiles. I mean, Dante Williams has known that kid since he was in grade school. I mean, he used to go to his house and talk to his brother and analyze film, and Bookie's there. I mean, that he's got those type of relationships with guys. And when you have that, yeah, you can convince a kid to come here. And then I think the other part of it is they've done well at getting guys like Bookie and a few other guys who are just very good peer recruiters themselves. And I think it just becomes a thing. It, like, feeds off each other, where, like, oh, Buki's going to that camp? That's legit. I'm going to go to it, too. So I think that's been it's been a combination of all those things. But, yeah, what they're doing tonight, it's a special deal, and people shouldn't shortchange it. Last year at this thing, you know, Radley Hiles was there, Tristan Jebbia, and Tyjon Lindsey, and you know, those guys are going to end up at, some of them already are at Nebraska, and some of them are going to end up here. So it's not a deal where they're just coming here and they're not getting any of them either.
We'll get you out of here on this. Is there a singular player or aspect about tonight that has your attention the most or intrigues you the most?
Well, I'd like to see them close the deal, and this is easier said than done. I mean, when you're talking about like a five-star guy like Micah Parsons, everybody in the stinking country wants that guy.
Right.
So just because he's visiting Nebraska, I mean, you got to slow the train down a little bit. But, you know, they have guys like him and Judge Culpepper, who's a big-time defensive lineman. His dad, Brad, was in the NFL for 9 years, kind of when Perella played. I think if they could land a big horse like that on the D-line, you know, in the trenches, that would move the needle, especially with this fan base, because I think people really love what's going on with recruiting. And but there is an idea with some out there that they keep hearing about wide receiver, you know. And if they could land a couple guys at other spots, you know, in the next few weeks, I think that that would it would fit really well with just the perception of this class, which is already strong to begin with. And then another side, I guess just a side item that fascinates me is Cameron Brown is here. And he's the wide receiver who was committed to Nebraska. Then he decommitted when he was on the Ohio State visit. He said, don't read into it. He just wants to step back. And now he's right back in Lincoln. And Nebraska still does have one wide receiver spot at least open in this class. And if you could, you know, get him back with, you know, Emmanuel Allen, a Joshua Moore, that's a heck of a receiving trio to put in the class.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens after tonight. Brian Christopherson, Lincoln Journal Star. Good stuff, BC. Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot, Nick.
You got it. Brian Christopherson, Lincoln Journal Star. Read his stuff. HuskerExtra.com. Get a paper. He'll, I'm sure, have tons to write about and recap after tonight. I got more thoughts on tonight a little bit later on in the show. We're a little over 10 minutes away from Jason Nissan of Omaha. He's going to be drawn for somebody is going to be lucky to have the opportunity to potentially win a 2017 Nissan Rogue if there's a grand slam in the sixth inning of the championship series. We'll do that at 12 o'clock. Matt Schick in the second segment, a little after 12:10. Let's take a break. 402-951-1620. Hardy's Hotline open for you. We'll wrap up this hour. We come back.